Good day, friends. We come into your family circle with our Bible open once again to discuss the question, what does the Bible say? And as we begin 2 weeks ago in this series of broadcasts, we mentioned to you at that time that many people are listening to what men have to say, and perhaps these men who are presenting this as well as women may be honest. We leave the point up to God whether a person is honest or dishonest. But we're aware of the fact that the Word of God is a thing that must be heard if we are to get that from God which will benefit the soul. You see, the soul is worth more than all the physical creation of God. Remember what Jesus said? What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what could he give in exchange for his soul? So on the broadcast, we're emphasizing, what does the Bible say? So far, we've talked about sin. We've talked about righteousness. And today, I want to get into a theme that many times people have questions about this subject. They really want to know what the Bible says about the Lord's body. We must realize that there are two things that enter into the picture when we're talking about the Lord's body. Are we talking about his physical body that he had while he was here upon this earth and went about doing good that was eventually nailed to the cross? Or are we talking about his spiritual body? You see, Paul made this very clear as he wrote to the Philippians when he said that Jesus made himself of no reputation, but he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Then he goes on to say that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This indicates to us the physical body of Jesus was here upon this earth. It was, of course, that which was associated with a human part, but he was also divine. The spiritual body of Jesus Christ is what we're especially looking at on the broadcast today, because after Jesus died, from that same accounting in the second chapter of Philippians, God exalted him and gave him a name which was above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth, and that every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The spiritual body of Jesus became a reality when he died upon the cross. The teaching is brought out very clearly by Paul in the Ephesian epistle. In fact, there really can't be any place in the Bible that deals any more conclusively with the Lord's body than in the Ephesian epistle. Listen to what is offered here from the final verses of the first chapter of Ephesians, verses 22 and 23. It tells what God hath done for Christ. And hath put all things under his feet, under the feet of Christ, and gave him Christ to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the answer to the question, what does the Bible say about the Lord's body? One of the things it says about the Lord's body is that the church is indeed his body, and that must be looked upon as a spiritual body. One thing that brings this out very conclusively is the fact that the Bible doesn't speak about us joining the church. It speaks about the Lord adding us to the church, as we have in Acts 2 and 47. Now, I want to make a point very plain. I realize that people use the terminology that they join the church, but you see, this puts it in an area where it would look as though it were a human organization. I was talking to a man about this subject some months ago, and he said, well, he did look upon the church as being a human organization. But you see, the Bible talks about the church being the body of Jesus. It's the body that he purchased with his own blood. Also, to the Ephesian elders in chapter 20 of the book of Acts, Paul wrote in the 28th verse, if you're taking notes, that's Acts 20 and 28. He told the Ephesian elders to take heed to themselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made them overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. The physical body of Jesus was nailed to the cross, his physical blood was shed, but that did purchase something for us. It purchased the church, or it purchased his spiritual body. That's what Paul's referring to in the first chapter of Ephesians, as well as the first chapter of Colossians in verse 18, where he talks about Christ being the head of the church. In this sequence here that we read or quoted for you just briefly in the Ephesian epistle, where it says God hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, that we recognize that people can be added by the Lord to his spiritual body. The need that is found in the life of the sinner, the alien sinner, is a need that is spiritual. We're aware of the fact that a spiritual truth makes it possible for a spiritual birth. And then when that person has been born again, he spiritually becomes a part of the body of Jesus Christ, which is the church. One thing that must be said about the Lord's body, that it can't be looked upon as a human denomination. And I think this is where we have the parting of the ways many times in religion. People many times follow that which is human. They may be honest, they may have a definite conviction, and there seems to be a very definite clash in their minds many times when we come along with the Bible and simply say, well, the church is a spiritual body of Christ. And this puts it in altogether a different category. So as you look about you in the world today where people are talking about if their church is right or somebody else's church is wrong, you see, if we simply look upon the church as being the spiritual body of Christ, then we don't have a church. Then we don't have a human arrangement. Well, someone says, what's the Lord going to do with all these human arrangements? Well, you're going to have to ask the Lord on that matter. I'm led to believe that the Bible teaches that when a person obeys the spiritual truth of the Word of God, they're born again spiritually. That must be by the Word of God, for in 1 Peter 1 and 23, we are indeed born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Now, there is a physical aspect of the Word of God because we have it printed upon the page, but it's a spiritual teaching. The men who wrote it were motivated or inspired of the Holy Spirit, and this wonderful spirit teaching tells us about that spiritual body of Christ. So here's the picture. When you obey the gospel, just like we've mentioned in past broadcasts, by hearing the word, believing it, repenting your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, that you believe Christ is the Son of God, and being baptized into Christ Jesus, then you fit into the pattern and are actually following the pattern, the plan that God has given to be born again. Your sins are forgiven by the Lord. The Lord also adds you to this spiritual body. Now, this body does not really have a headquarters on this earth. There are congregations of the Lord's church throughout the world. But the headquarters, the head of the church, is Jesus Christ. He was in heaven before he ever sent the Holy Spirit that gave the apostles the spiritual teaching that they could tell sinners what to do to be saved, that they could be added by the Lord to the spiritual body. So you see, when you really get into the Lord's body in a spiritual sense, you're talking about something that's going to continue on with all the fussing, with all the feuding, with all the man-made strife that we have about us in the world today. You see, here is the spiritual body of Jesus. Now, the only thing that actually distorts this is if people who are a part of that spiritual body do not act spiritually. They do not follow the course spiritually. Now, they're going to be judged by the Lord. But we're simply answering the question, what does the Bible say about the Lord's body? This body is likened unto his kingdom. You know, when Jesus was talking about his church during his personal ministry, in the 16th chapter of Matthew, he said in verse 18 that upon the rock, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and surely Christ himself, that he would build his church. Ephesians 2 and 20 said the Christians were built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So there's the spiritual body of Christ. It had its headquarters in heaven. It has a spiritual teaching. It does not have a creed or doctrine of men. And people live by what this Bible teaches, and thus we find they stand or they fall in the sight of God. But when you get down to the spiritual body of Jesus Christ, you're talking about the Lord's body. And you're talking about what must be recognized in this earth as being proper and right. Now, how strong is this? How important is this subject? Well, how important is salvation? You see, when you're talking about the Lord's body, you realize he had to give his physical body. But listen to what actually is mentioned here about his spiritual body. Well, Paul is waxing very eloquently here at the close of the first chapter of Ephesians. We go right back to that. And he talks about God raising Christ from the dead in verse 20. He talks about him setting him at his own right hand in heavenly places in verse 20. He talks about Jesus being far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, above every name that's named in this world and in that which is to come in verse 21. And then he caps the whole thing by saying that God placed him as a head of the church, which is his body. You know, I'm wondering as I talk to you on the broadcast today about the Lord's body, if you realize how important it is that you be a part of it. You see, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, and he's talking about the spiritual body in Acts 2:47. So the theory that's held by probably some honest people today that it doesn't make any difference about the church, that you can take it or leave it and salvation will be yours anyway, you see, that doesn't really harmonize with what the Bible teaches. I am led to believe when I look at the Bible that there is not salvation out of Christ Jesus. We must be in Christ Jesus to be saved from our past sins. Our life must be hid with Christ in God. So this is the same as saying that there is not salvation out of the Lord's church. Now, you understand that I'm not the final judge. I'm simply offering to you what the Bible has to say. But when one is born again, just as the Bible teaches, then the Lord personally forgives his sins, and the Lord personally adds him to that spiritual body. So you know this morning, as we talk to you, whether you're a part of that spiritual body or not. You see, your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ are human, just like everybody else. But we understand the Bible is divine. The spiritual body of Jesus Christ is divine. And we can become a part of that by being saved from our past sins and then serving as a part of his body in Christ Jesus as servants of righteousness, according to Romans 6:18, going on to eternal life. As the kingdom will be delivered up there, as we are told in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, so the church or his spiritual body be delivered up. We'll all stand before God at the final day. But what a wonderful thought it will be to think of the faithful in Christ Jesus as a part of his spiritual body, as a part of his church, being able to go home to glory. You know, we may have prompted some questions in your mind. Feel free to send them in. The Church of Christ that brings you this broadcast will announce their services. Why don't you plan to be there with your Bible and your entire family and be with us next time as we again look at the question, what does the Bible say?